Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Kirk Lowe, and I'm going to be interviewing Matt Halloran today, my wonderful business partner here at Top Advisor Marketing. And the shoe is on a different foot today, or is the shoe on my foot?
Shoe's on your foot, dude.
Could be in my mouth, too.
Let's hope not. You're the host, man. Come on.
So we're going to talk today about the 7 podcast tactics to grow your business. I had the word explode in there and I had to take it out because I just hate sometimes. Let's just be honest. We got tactics here. You can decide whether or not they explode your business based on how well you implement them and how perfect they are for how you want to grow your business. But there's a great story. And Matt, maybe Matt, you can start off by introducing the idea of why we think podcasting is the schnizzle.
Well, it's the schnizzle just because, I mean, it really is the way that we took, you know, a company that literally started from zero. I mean, when you and I merged about 2 years ago, we basically cleared the books and had no revenue, right? And so we started from zero. And in less than 24 months, our latest valuation is over $1 million, you know, upwards of, you know, 1.5-ish to 2 million, depending on what calculations that you use. And we did it with podcasting as our hub. Now, it wasn't all of the spokes because there were a lot of other spokes. You know, Kirk, you and I had amazing networks. We had a lot of existing relationships, but we used podcasting as the way that we were going to get our thought leadership out. And, you know, we're 160 podcasts deep now, maybe more, and it's gone pretty well, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, the truth is the value of the podcasting business as a recurring revenue model is what you just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't include the branding work, which is really only a one times multiple. So, because it's not recurring, but you know, for years, I've been leveraging LinkedIn. And now that we've added the podcasting, it's really expanded how quickly or accelerated how successful we are on LinkedIn, which has always been my social media platform of choice.
You know, and you and I talked about this, and for our listeners, you know, Kirk and I go head to head and toe to toe on things often. And it's because we both have, you know, strong opinions and we both really like challenging each other because it makes us both better. And, you know, I was squarely in the Facebook and Twitter kind of camp. And then Kirk was like, dude, well, how have we grown our business? You know, what have we done? And I'm going to agree with you. I think there's 3 components. Now we're going to talk about the podcast tactics, but I think there's 3 major components to what we've done to grow as quickly as we have. Number one is podcasting, right? I mean, the fact that I'm podcasting on average 5 to 7 times a week with either clients or existing paying clients or with people on the Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Number two, you know, finding a partner that is going to help us put our information out, including using LinkedIn. So we kind of use those interchangeably. And then 3, getting out and shaking people's hands, right? There's still power in going to conferences and meeting people face to face. Now, if you're a financial services professional, you can do that, you know, in networking events. So don't downplay that, but you put all of these things together. I mean, I don't know how many of you can say that you grew a business that's worth as much as our business is in less than 24 months. Or am I just being cocky there?
No, we read it all the time, but we're, you know, you read it all over the internet and it's not always believable, but I think we got some credibility in that. We've been around for, you've been around for over 10 years. I've been around for 20 years doing this and usually toot our horns, but it's been, you know, we still have a long way to go.
Yeah.
To, you know, fine tune our process, which is quite fantastic, you know, since the start. And we're really happy with that. So why don't we dive into these tactics? We had 7. I just added an 8th. That's how you and I go.
I know. Yeah. Well, we might come up
always adding. Yeah.
You added 2 more on the last podcast. And by the end of the podcast, we'd already forgotten what the other 2 were.
Yeah, I know. We're amazing. And I promise not to use any more Snoop Doggy Dog language.
I don't know.
So, yeah. So we want you to tee this off. Hit the number 1.
Okay.
Podcast tactic to
right.
grow
so
your practice.
You have to choose the right syndication tool. And we have tried Everest. So many of these now, Kirk. I mean, we've tried you know, really, really, we went Podbean was the first one because that was the one that I had used when I had my own podcast. And then we moved to something called Blueberry, which really was the next step in analytics. And then we just got introduced to something called Backtracks, which is what we're going to be moving to now. And honestly, one of the nice things about being a small company like ours is we're very flexible. But it is a long-term strategy. I mean, you have to have your thought leadership there. If you move from syndication platform to syndication platform, you do want to re-upload all of the podcasts that you had before. Now, this is a pay-to-play model. This isn't free. There are no good free syndication services out there. And you can't get to iTunes without going through a third party.
Right. So... yeah, so that's another good point. So can you expand on the success that people can expect on syndicating from their channel? So you really talked about was podcast channel. So having a place where you can host your podcast and then deliver it to a community. But the biggest communities are the ones you're going to syndicate to, like iTunes. So you can talk, can you talk about, you know, what people can expect from syndicating to those communities?
Right. It is a long strategy. In fact, there have been some very interesting recent changes that we're implementing with our services here. Instead of launching your first podcast as your singular podcast, we're actually doing a bulk launch. So what happens is when we record anywhere from 3 to 5 podcasts, get them edited, published, and all ready for syndication in the can because of binge listening. And that is such a normal thing now that that's what works. But you're really looking at 18 months. Now, if you look back at us because of our existing networks, we started seeing some good traction about 9 months. So I'll say the fastest that you can get attention to your syndicated podcast would be about 9 months. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think our experience is that syndicating through those big communities like iTunes, and iTunes, the last statistic that I recall for that is that 75% of all podcast listens were happening through there. I believe that's over a year old since I've seen that. So I'm hoping it's less than that now. But it's not, I think there are 5 million podcasts.
Yeah.
It's either 1 million or 5 million. It's a big number.
It's a big number.
Not that big, really. I mean, there's a lot of people, but there's enough podcasts going on in iTunes that it's busy, mm-hmm. right? So if you want to have success there, you have to be prepared to pay to play. And that's the new model of getting exposure there is paying to get your exposure. So if you're willing to do that, you can grow. If you're not, you have to find other more organic methods. And let's jump into one of the best organic methods of all, which is just doing this for your clients.
Well, I think you have to answer some very philosophical questions when you're going to start your own podcast, which is what is your desired outcome? What is your why? And I know that's so overused and it's kind of becoming, you know, contrived statement, start with why, but it is really important when it comes to this, because if you're just specifically creating a podcast to generate leads, you're going to have a very, very different technique. We believe that the greatest way to do this, and I learned this from you, Kirk, when you and I first started hanging out a couple years ago, was, Matt, you got to give away just about everything you possibly can for free and just give and give and give and give and give. You need to do that with your business. It inspires referrals. It's very, very easy for somebody to say, hey, look, you know, I don't want to introduce you to my female advisor because she's super awesome. That could make you uncomfortable. But hey, why don't you subscribe to her podcast? Really nice, gentle way for an introduction. It enhances your credibility unbelievably. If you do seminar marketing, if you're already on the radio, if you do local press, if you do print or television, saying follow my podcast or listen to my podcast at the end of your kind of close is an absolutely great way to enhance credibility, especially if you write in your signature line, always put, subscribe to our podcast. It's a great way to deepen relationships with clients. Podcasting is so intimate. I can't stress that enough. You know, the things that people do in their cars, you know, whether their windows are rolled up and their music is blaring and they're singing, or their volume is turned up and they're very, very focused on your voice. It's a very, very intimate relationship. And you need to keep that in mind on your delivery and technique, which is not anything that we're going to get to today. But the last one is personal interactions. It's such a great way for you to target a couple of podcasts, the topic specifically to some of your better clients, right? So if you were, let's say you knew somebody was a huge snorkeler or scuba diver, maybe you bring on the local scuba pro and talk about scuba diving in retirement. What a great freaking podcast. You send that to those great clients of yours. And what ends up happening is then they are going to have even more to talk to you about. Did I miss anything?
No. There's one thing I like to add, though.
Okay.
Is that there's, when we talk about marketing, you talk about trying to be in a lot of different places, right? You don't just want to do one tactic and hope that works. You got to do multiple things. Have a great brand, focus on your website, have some content, have a white paper. Maybe it's a blog and a podcast. Be doing some social media, doing some email marketing, you know, work these things together. Maybe you run some events. But one of the neat things that we're working on right now is with a seminar, a marketing company, is creating a light podcasting service or solution where we allow people who are doing seminars all the time with this company, who do a fantastic job of trying to say, you know what, there's more credibility that can be had. And if somebody wants to engage you before they come, you know, your wisdom before they come to that seminar, they can experience your podcast. So we're seeing that other marketing types that typically just stayed in their own lane are reaching out to expand their offering with podcasting. I think that's a really cool thing. We should give them a little promo here because they're so cool to work with and they're so leading edge thinking, right?
Well, they are really cool to work with, but we haven't actually closed the business with them.
Okay, so coming soon, stay tuned. We're going to announce a partnership, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, where do we go from here?
Well, number three would be the best place
okay,
to go.
Okay, so at number one, okay. So
since it comes after two.
Podcast digital expansion. So it's really, really, really hard. I would say impossible to not have a social email and website component to, and Kirk, you just said it, right? When we wrote the Social Media Handbook for Financial Advisors, the opening part of that book says, communication is fundamentally changed. You have to communicate to people in the medium in which they are when they're there. Right. And so if you're on Instagram, your podcast needs to be on Instagram. If all of your friends and clients are on Instagram, you need to be on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, whatever. Right. But then you also need to promote your podcast via your very, very secure email list. Now, you don't want to spam that list with ridiculous stuff, which is why we don't have you podcast ad nauseum. You do one to two podcasts a month. But telling them in the email a quick blurb about the podcast and click here to subscribe, super simple, is a great way to go ahead and grow your networking, to grow your subscribers and your listener base. But lastly, the backlinks are so powerful. Backlinking from iTunes, backlinking from LinkedIn, backlinking from all of those places to your website has such huge SEO benefits. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you can do that from all your socials. So every time you post socially, Google's looking at LinkedIn to see information on that topic. So there's a lot of powerful benefits of SEO. Plus, just the fact that you have a podcast and you have topics and you've got show notes in your podcast. You might have tags in your podcast. There's all kinds of other benefits there.
Yep.
So this next tactic is really interesting. And I think the client podcasting is a strategy. So sharing this with your clients and inspiring them to want to refer you is probably one of the quickest wins you can get with podcasting. This one's a little bit slower win, but it can be really powerful. So why don't you dive into number four, Matt?
Well, this is how we grew our podcast listeners really exponentially at the beginning, because Kirk and I have some really great friends who provide services to financial advisors, since this is the market that we've been in for so long. And so we would have our centers of influence, people who refer business to us on the podcast. And the immediate thing that happens is, one, you're deepening the relationship with that center of influence. It also ignites reciprocity. They're going to share the podcast that they were on your podcast with their entire network. It's also a great way to tease out new ideas. And one of the greatest gifts or compliments or whatever that I get from being a podcast host is, hey, Matt, you asked me a question, made me think about something I hadn't thought about before. That's like man, that's cha-ching in all sorts of different areas, right? Not only does that mean that I'm paying attention and I care and I have a vested interest in your success, but it also means that, you know, you remember having that epiphany while being on our podcast. I absolutely love it. And if you're a financial services professional and you are going to be focusing on COI podcasting, which, by the way, happens to be one of our models that we implement about 9 months after you start podcasting with us, is to start doing the COI podcasting after you have some more experience. I brought up the scuba diver, earlier with the client podcasting with personal interactions, and, you know, bringing on lifestyle guests are awesome. In fact, one of our newer clients who lives in Minnesota, he lives actually right on the Minnesota-Wisconsin border, but he brought on a guy who does barbecue, who's known in his area for barbecue. And guess what? They talked about barbecue and how he talked about running a business and all of those different things from a barbecue perspective. It was freaking awesome, right? And you know that Ted's Barbecue, I think is what it was called, is going to share that podcast all over the place.
Yeah, I think the business partnership podcasting is really huge. So an example of that is, and we've got a number of advisors who are doing podcasts with us right now who invite clients on, not to talk about investments, right? The compliance department's just started to freak out there, having hissy fits in the background. No, to talk about their business. So as an advisor, promoting your client's business on your own podcast, that's so powerful. And that's one of the examples, and we have other advisors who've been doing that, and they share it socially. And you know, guess who's going to be all over sharing that with their people?
Yeah.
Right. Your client advocating because you promoted their business.
One of our other moderately new clients just interviewed a retired physician. So he works in the physician market. That was like awesome credibility builder for him there. But he also helped him retire so that he could start his passion, which was a brewery. And they marketed the brewery, Kirk, the entire time on the podcast. It was absolutely awesome. And the guy got done with the podcast and he was like, dude, did we talk too much about the brewery? And our client was like, no, that's why you were on. And it was just great. And again, what a great thing for you to be able to offer to people you want to deepen a relationship with. Let's have a great intimate conversation about what you're passionate about. The most important thing about COI podcasting that you have to remember is it's not about you. As the host, it's not about you. All of your attention needs to be focused on that client.
I haven't heard the last 2 minutes of what you've been saying because I was just focused on the brewery part. I'm sorry, but
that's all right.
I probably need to have a beer before watching tonight's Leafs playoff hockey game.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of dates this.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. But okay. There's hockey 24 hours a day, 365 days a year in Canada, so whatever.
Yes. And Minnesota, too.
That's true.
And Michigan.
Yeah, Northern probably. Michigan. Yeah, we do like our hockey.
Yep. I'm arranging a NCAA trip for my kids, one of my boys' hockey teams, where we go to watch either Boston College and Boston University, go get tours of their campuses, play a couple of games with some high-end teams on the way down and back. Pretty exciting stuff.
You know, my alma mater, Kirk, has got a heck of a hockey team.
I bet.
Yeah, Western Michigan University. They're all Canadian.
No, Americans have an incredible hockey system right now. I would argue that it's probably better than Canada's right now, which has got a lot of people freaking out, I suspect. But anyhow, so we've gone through the first four tactics, and now we're on number five.
All right, guest podcasting. One thing that you're going to find out once you start podcasting, if you really like it, which we found very few people don't like it, is that you are going to meet other podcasters.
Don't not like it, to be clear.
Don't not like it? What did I say?
You said don't like it. We found many people don't like it.
Oh, yeah. No. Everybody loves it. That's better. And once you really love it, you're going to want to be on other people's podcasts. Now, this is something that, well, it's actually, Kirk, how you and I started, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, I wanted to interview you. In fact, the majority of the Mod Marketing for the 21st Century, which is the longest podcast title ever made. Dude, I interviewed you like 30 times. Remember that?
I think we hit around there.
Was it?
It was a lot.
It was a lot.
And then we decided it just was the wrong name and we were getting better at it and we just restarted.
Yeah. God, we've done a lot of podcasts, dude.
But even at that point, we had people calling us saying, I've listened to 30 of your episodes. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
Wow, you must be bored.
Well, you know, okay, no, that they're not bored. They're wildly engaged. How's that? I'm going to take a positive.
So what is the power of being on somebody else's podcast?
Well, first off, in outside of everything, is it's very weird because if you're a podcast host being interviewed by somebody else, you don't have a lot of control. It's a very strange thing that you have to pay attention to, but it gets you to hear how other people do it. And man, that is so powerful, especially when it's live. Most of us who listen, who do podcasting, listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a crap ton of podcasts. My new favorite one is oh gosh, I'm totally looking this up because this is applicable. Just give me one second. I'm opening up my phone. It is called Stuff You Should Know, which is they do a long form podcast and short form podcast where they do things like about Chernobyl it's just incredible. And I love listening to those because it teaches me more and more technique. But that's one of the best things about being on other people's shows. But you get to pitch your show on their show. They will always allow you to do that. It is almost impossible to get on somebody else's podcast unless you have, one, a deep relationship with them already. But really, you should have your own podcast. But you have to be okay. Now, this is where things get a little bit weird when it comes to financial services professionals, but not really with attorneys or estate planning attorneys or CPAs, is because you do not have the compliance control over it. So you have to be very, very careful.
Absolutely. So number six is, I'll start it here.
Okay.
Is a tough one. And we've had people call us who say, you know, I just want to make money on my podcast. So how many hits do you have? Well, I'm doing about 300 average a month. That's a good luck. If I have a good luck sound, that's, I play it right now because that ain't happening. But podcast sponsorships can be an opportunity to grow your practice because you get more money and you can use that money to promote it. But give us some thoughts on how to use podcast sponsorship as a tactic, Matt.
It's super, super, super hard. And you also have to try to come across as not being a shill. Joe Rogan has got a podcast, and last time I listened to it, he had 7 minutes of advertisement before he even got into content. I think that's a little extreme. We do have a client currently right now, Kirk, who is being sponsored by the money managers that she is interviewing, right? So she does socially responsible investing. So she figured out how to position it very well on the front end, but it is all about listens and subscribers. If you're not averaging 7,000 to 10,000 listens a month, nobody's going to pay you for your podcast. So it's super hard to get, but even if you do get it, most of the people we work with, Kirk, much like you and I, are fiercely entrepreneurial, right? We're really, really autonomous. You lose so much control over that podcast. In fact, would you say what you said before we even started recording about this podcast is no longer yours? Do you remember?
No, I don't.
Oh,
come on. That was like 10 minutes or 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Well, what you said was, you know, they're going to look at the results of the podcast and they could say, hey, look, I want you to talk about that again and continue to talk about something almost too much where that might not be the onus of the podcast in the way that you want it.
Yeah. My most famous topics in any blog post or podcast ever done were business planning. That one. And had a white paper that went crazy. And the other one was a value proposition. We talked about that months ago. Mm-hmm. And we've just created a course, just finishing the workbook up for everybody. Stay tuned. Those two were really big ones too. But yeah, it's very difficult to keep control, leverage somebody else's money. I mean, the best thing to do is if you're getting good enough at it, is to leverage it maybe with the partner. So maybe, hey, you give me $500 a month, I'll put in 500. Let's kind of grow together.
Yeah.
Then you can expand. That's a neat way to do that. A little tip for everybody. You talked about Joe Rogan's 7 minutes, 7 minute commercial at the start. There's a bunch of them that do that. There was the 4 week guy. He does it too.
Oh.
4 week, four day work week. Mm-hmm. No, 4 day. Oh my God. 4 hour work week. 4 day work week. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's so incredible. So that guy does the same thing. He's always got a product. It's usually the people, if somebody's going to be a guest on a show or whatever. Anyway, there's a 30-second ahead advance button. Here's why I'm telling you this. When we do a podcast or if you're doing your own podcast intro, make it 30 seconds. Did I say 30 minutes? 30 seconds.
No, you said 30 seconds. Yeah.
Okay. 30 seconds. You hit that, you'll get right into Matt and I starting the actual podcast. and hopefully other people abide by that, but it makes it really easy for you. So hit that as soon as you go on our podcast. If you don't hear the intro, which is the same every time, hit past that and go. Now, if we're going to add a sponsorship in 30 seconds, I just killed our sponsorship people. But anyway, we'll get there another time.
Yeah, but 30 seconds, the 30 seconds forward is really nice. Not as... it's for the bigger podcasts, right? So the you know, Stuff You Should Know podcast, they have three commercial breaks, and I know when they're going to be, and I'll listen to them the first time. But if I hear the same music, I've already heard the commercial, so I'm going to forward it. But
yeah, we're into Foxhole Tangent, and I created this darn thing.
Wow, dude, I swear to God, I thought you were just about to use the F word when you said Foxhole. Wow, goodness gracious.
Oh my gosh, yeah, no, come on.
We do have a bleep button in our editing room now. Did you know that? We've had to bleep a couple of our clients' podcasts because there are some serious words dropped.
Oh, yeah. No, I did not know that, but it's good to know. So that's about podcast sponsorship. Yeah. Tough thing, but you find some creative ways and be resourceful, you can get it done. And there's lots of advisors who are quite resourceful, and that's why they're successful. So let's dive into number 7 now, which is the last one according to our title, but we have a bonus one. I'll tell you about that myself. But please tell us about number 7.
Well, this is something that was an epiphany from our friend Doug, right, at Iris, right? This was his kind of brainchild, wasn't it? Or did you and him come up with this together?
I think it was him.
Okay.
It could have been us, but Doug and I have this agreement that we never try to claim anything because we have so many ideas when we get together.
Yeah.
We just say they're ours now. We never even bother fighting about it.
Well, the first one we did was with Doug, right? Where we officially did, we call them e-pods. And so what happens, if you guys are interested, we will come out. It'll generally be me and one other person, and we will live podcast your event. And what we mean by live podcasting is we can put them out quickly. They'll be a little bit more raw. They usually go out within 24 hours, but there's huge benefit. One, you extend the life of the entire event because, podcasting is so convenient compared to listening and watching videos. Very few people are going to sit in their car, obviously, and watch a video. But if they missed your event, this is a great way to get even more engagement. So there's number one. Number two, so much more exposure. Instead of just having it be live and in person, you get to hit the entire digital world, which is absolutely fantastic. We have also found that it deepens your engagement with your sponsors and speakers. In fact, we had so much fun at the Market Council Summit. There's one guy, Don Trone. I'm going to use him as an example, who's very, very influential, very instrumental in the fiduciary standard and in the writing of the laws. He had just come off stage, basically walked right into our press room where we were, and I went ahead and interviewed him. He was still warmed up. He was still fired up. He still had absolutely great energy. And Brian, the guy who was running everything, had basically said, look, that was one of his favorite parts of the whole thing. It also helps you promote content. Now, if you do it right, what you do is you actually do podcasts to prime the event. In fact, I'm doing this for a new friend of ours who has something called 2X Advisor. He does events all over the country. It's mostly 401k work. And so I'm going to start interviewing their keynote speakers to a very, very short one, just to highlight what they're going to be talking about at the event to drive even more attendance. And last but not least, it enhances enlightenment. I mean, just it raises even more awareness of your event specifically. Did I miss something? Because no, you were there.
That is beautiful. I mean, it adds hype to the event too. When people see, just think of, adds value to your sponsors and your speakers coming because now they have a way to extend extend more exposure, all those things, and get more people to engage that couldn't come, right? So podcasting is such a versatile medium to enhance the event, whatever event you're putting on. So it's really great like that. We actually use it when we go to events.
Yeah.
When we're actually, so we're going to be in Arizona for an SEI conference, and we're going to set up a podcast booth right at our station, and we record right there. And we usually do it in between when somebody's talking, when nobody's in the hall, if you will, mm-hmm. or vendor hall. And we invite all the guests at the other tables. Right,
dude.
They're all there for advisors, and,
yeah.
And it's really easy to do. I mean, you can do that kind of stuff. And we're in the process of working on an engagement with one of the larger event companies in the world who do a ton. I think they do 40 or 50 financial events across the world. And we're in the process of doing figuring out how to do event pods for some of their events too. So it's a really cool opportunity to accomplish more than your event alone can handle.
So let's tailor this very quickly to our audience, financial advisors. So you get your booth, right? Like, you know, that you have a sponsorship booth for local events, and you, as the financial services professional, interview people who were at the event, and your company sponsors this live podcast of maybe a farmer's market or an art show, or maybe a parade or a celebration of some sort. People love to sit around and watch you talk into a microphone. And even better, if you can get them to be on the microphone, goodness gracious, it's so powerful. You know, Kirk Advisor Stream, I'm going to use them as an example. That's where we started our whole deep relationship with that company, right?
Absolutely.
We had them on the pod. We did a live podcast with them at the SEI conference, and we've been both of us have referred so much business to them, and you know, they're a great strategic partner of ours, and it was all because of that.
Absolutely. So here, this is a perfect segue into the eighth, and we'll call it the bonus podcast tactic to grow your business. And that is find a vertical partner. Find somebody who would really benefit, who your podcast adds value to. And here's an example. If you're a financial advisor and you know a local credit union or bank who doesn't have an advisor, who needs to deepen relationships, doesn't have the expertise that you have, why not do a podcast for them? They might actually sponsor it, pay for part of it. You both win. Here's another one. We work with Iris, our friend Doug Heikkinen at iris.xyz. So it's iris.xyz. And he created a financial podcast tab on his wonderfully populated site. And we share our podcast there, or he shares our podcast there. And we also get advisors to go there, which really boosts their SEO and their downloads. Less of the audience is B2C, it's more B2B, but there's still wins to be had there by having your stuff out there. There's better exposure, probably more listens happening there than you're getting on iTunes and all those other communities, because there's nobody promoting or featuring your stuff, which he does for our clients, which is wonderful of him. So if you can find a partner, so in other words, somebody whose audience really values what you do, and they'll share it all the time, and they have a big audience, look for those opportunities too. It doesn't just have to be a guest coming on, but it could just be somebody who'd say, hey, I'd love to have you talk to my people all the time. I like to share it all the time. And those are great opportunities. And that's the eighth bonus podcast tactic to grow your practice. Any final statements or thoughts, Matt?
Well, yeah, just on that one, you just triggered something in how you were explaining that I actually hadn't thought of before, which is, if you have a niche, that niche probably has a publication, right? And so, for instance, one of my friends here in Kalamazoo has a relationship with the Michigan Propane Association. And in having him do a podcast, you know, about, you know, his relationship with the propane organization and, you know, issues, because there's a whole magazine on propane. He's got all of his built-in guests right there. It comes out every quarter. And he can do a podcast sponsored by his company to get his name just, you know, omnipresent, ever present in front of the Propane Association. So, you know, there's lots of different ways to do that. And we really do know how to do this. Not only have we obviously grown our business exponentially with podcasting, but we have helped other people gain great exposure. And, you know, a total shameless plug here. I love this. If you all haven't noticed how much I love podcasting, I love doing it. You know, my whole team, including Kirk, reins me in every once in a while because I want to do way more than I probably need to because I have other stuff to do. But this is it. And we know how to solve this problem, and we kill anybody else that's out there. Nobody can touch our systems. Nobody can touch our production. Nobody can touch our syndication or our quality of our voice talent.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I thought podcasting, one of the things it does that we've never talked about before is it solves problems in advisors' businesses. Or financial companies' businesses, right? Because if you're not connecting with your people through some of these tactics, that's a massive gap. It's a lost opportunity. This helps solve problems. How you communicate with your clients? Can you inspire them? Can you connect more on a more intimate level with them without them having to come into your office? Mm-hmm. Can you find a way to inspire more centers of influence to want to hang out with you and introduce them and do something nice, right? You know, ignite that reciprocity. You know, there's so many things that we just talked about in this podcast, that if you're not doing them, you're not doing them. So think about that. So I'm going to end this a little less eloquently than Matt usually does, and probably a little bit less slow or more slow, which is there's an RSS button wherever you're listening to this, right? And make sure that you're subscribing to our podcast, because as we bring new ones in, you want to be able to quickly access those and see. I think we've published about 150, 160 podcast episodes at the time we're recording this. Obviously, this won't take a couple of weeks before it gets out live. And, you know, dedicate yourself to this. Find a podcast player if you're on your mobile device, and look for us in the podcast player. So Top Advisor Marketing Podcast is how you find us. And visit our website if you need to, which is topadvisormarketing.com. So topadvisormarketing.com. And feel free to reach out to Matt or I anytime. My name is Kirk Lowe, kirk@topadvisormarketing.com, or matt@topadvisormarketing.com. And have a great day, and keep listening, please. And share this. Pay this forward to people, other advisors that you know who are starving for opportunities to advance their business. And don't hesitate at all to connect with us on LinkedIn or social media. Start conversations. We'll be helpful as we can. And thanks so much for listening. And that's it for today.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at iris.xyz.